Tom Kirkle in the AM 1400 WRJN News Center. The AccuWeather forecast, chance for some light snow to continue through this morning. Going to be a little breezy, high of about 28. Kenosha right now has dipped down to 22 degrees. Make that 25 degrees. Burlington right now is at 23. In Milwaukee, it's light snow still, 25 and 26, reported in Racine. The snowstorm that was predicted to hit southeast Wisconsin kind of drifted a little overnight, and not as much came down. But AccuWeather's Elliot Abrams says there is still the chance for a little light addition later on this morning.
There's a large break right now that extends from the area on westward, not much happening at all. We do expect a band to come through that's now in eastern Iowa and extreme southwest Wisconsin. If that holds together, it gets here around lunchtime. It may snow for a couple hours, and then that's it.
We go back to the teens for an overnight low, then hang around 30 for daytime highs the next few days. Abrams indicating the next warm-up may not appear until next week. Take note that in Kenosha, there were 2 inches of snow on the ground as of about 3:30 this morning, so no parking on any posted snow routes until further notice. No parking on any streets in the village of Pleasant Prairie until further notice. And the town of Norway snow emergency is set to go until noon. City of Racine had its snow emergency kick in at midnight. It ended at 6 o'clock this morning. Most of the schools open today. Again, not as much snow falling as had been predicted. However, Union Grove High School and Grade School called things off, as did Yorkville J2 schools, Kansasville Grade School, and Raymond Grade School. Well, it's going to take a little time for the Racine County Executive and Health and Human Development Committees to go through all the information they feel is needed for making a determination on the recommended potential sale of the Ridgewood Care Center. Eventual decisions from each going to the full county board. Public comment before discussion included, Robert B. said, wondering about the quality of care with the sale, consideration of maybe a collaborative operation, or just raising taxes to try to keep it going.
The task force says that it would cost $2.3 million over the next 5 years, which is $460,000 a year. And we got 82,000 households in Racine County. That would be a cost of $5.50 per year per household, which we're happy to pay.
During the presentation part, task force spokesperson Gene Jacobson, the former county executive, said that challenging funding and budgets offer no guarantees that Ridgewood would be a priority with future county government leaders.
Making the necessary improvements, hiring qualified people, enough staff to run it properly, while cutting other programs like law enforcement, mentally ill, workforce development, keeping the roads in good repair, parks. Government really is supposed to be filling the gaps that the private sector can't provide. So, I guess we leave you with this basic question. Should Racine County remain in the nursing home business in the future?
Both committee members will be touring the Ridgewood facility March the 12th. Public comments can be sent to the Racine County Clerk's Office either by snail mail or email, but your name is being requested. A big crowd turning out at the Mount Pleasant Village Hall last night to learn about coyotes. Get some tips on dealing with them, asking questions about their behavior. The meeting scheduled by the police department due to an increasing number of calls about the animals. DNR wildlife biologist Diane Robinson noted that a study was done on urban coyotes in Chicago, told the crowd most of them are just kind of passing through neighborhoods to and from their way on parks and other neutral areas. The coyotes actually benefit the neighborhoods by preying on mice and other rodents.
The white-footed mice that we are.
She said that they recommends that scaring coyotes if they come near. Should they become aggressive, though, it is legal to kill them or you can have them removed from your property. And Mount Pleasant Police Captain Tom Peterson took note that it's not legal to fire a gun in the village in some areas. Basically, east of Highway H, you need a permit to do that. West of Highway H, you do not. Racine County Judge Eugene Gasakevich sentences 17-year-old Kenosha resident Marquez Vines to 4 years in prison, then 3 years of extended supervision for his role in the November 2014 robbery of the TCF Bank on Douglas Avenue. Three others were also charged. One got cleared. Another was given 7 years in prison. The third awaits trial next week. Vines arrested when he stayed behind in the getaway vehicle, according to the charging document, while the others ran. And the dangers of using smartphones while driving going to be presented to nearly 500 students at Park High School in Racine tomorrow morning. Going to be a hands-on experience through the use of the AAA's Distracted Driver Simulator. Same program of this type has been used at several other schools in the Kenosha-Racine area before. Two-way traffic on Kenosha's Kennedy Drive ought to continue, according to the Board of Parks Commissioners. They also recommend against street parking and a separate bike lane, a decision that comes ahead of resurfacing that popular lakefront road this summer. There was a public hearing at the municipal building. It attracted nearly a dozen people, plus over 600 folks responded with an online survey. Very strong interest that did not surprise Alderman Scott Gordon, the panel's chairman.
There is a huge passion for this park. There's no doubt. Young and old.
Before Kennedy Drive is resurfaced, though, this summer, Public Works are going to have to repair some of the additional damage caused with recent storm activity. It's a new tool to help new and expanding businesses, and Racine unveiled during a news conference at City Hall. The Business Development Services portfolio is 19 pages designed to be a concise listing of the tools and resources for business owners. Mayor John Dickert says it includes information and the services available from many of the organizations currently working with new and expanding businesses, providing information in one convenient location.
And each one of these organizations and the city play a role. We don't want to overlap any of that, and we don't want to tell somebody we can do something that we can't. So we have created a very efficient and streamlined system to make sure that anybody coming in can get the assistance that they need.
The portfolio available at business development organizations like RAMAC, RCEDC, and Gateway Technical College. State Department of Workforce Development Secretary Ray Allen visited Gateway's SC Johnson IMET Center as part of Career and Technology Education Month. It's to highlight and encourage CTE programs throughout Wisconsin's K-12 system. At Gateway, Allen toured the facility in Renaissance Business Park and participated in a panel discussion of high school machine tool operator boot camps, supported by Wisconsin Fast Forward Blueprint for Prosperity funding. An American transmission company of Waukesha is proposing a project to address an electric reliability issue, and there are high power flows on the transmission system from Wisconsin into Illinois. It's called the Wisconsin-Illinois Reliability Project. This includes a double-circuit 345 kilovolt transmission line that'll connect to an existing line near Pleasant Prairie, then connect that line to the ComEd transmission system through a proposed substation in Wadsworth, Illinois. ATC is going to host a public open house from 4:30 till 7 p.m. on Wednesday, March 16th at the Thunderhawk Golf Club in Beach Park, Illinois, the first of three such open houses with subsequent meetings in Illinois later this spring. WRJN.com, our webpage, has our newscast in the local news section. Check them out. Also at WRJN News for our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Karkle, AM 1400 WRJN News.